Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey yo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. That's Josh Brown and JT Holton.
It's great to be with you today. I am looking
forward. Are you guys excited
to entertaining our listeners? Both of them.
I'm very much looking forward to this time to talk with you gentlemen.
Oh my God, that's a chills down my spine, JT. I think JT just took that to a different place.
Can somebody sponsor
talk some
us
baseball,
and so we can like do this full time, and then we could record in really weird places. For example, like a teepee in the desert, smoking.
That'd
a bowl.
Be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about the smoking a bowl part, but the teepee in the desert sounds fun.
You know you want to.
We'll go on a vision quest.
A vision quest. Oh my god!
Isn't that like a fantasy movie? Vision quest? I don't know.
That sounds probably like it. Yeah, it's just where you get really you get high in the desert and wait for like you know what you're supposed to do with your life or something.
Do you realize so, fellas, the content we could come up with?
I 100% want you guys to let me DM, GM, game master a Dungeons and Dragons game with you two and your significant others and my significant other.
I don't even know what that means. What are you talking about?
Are you familiar with what Dungeons and Dragons is? No? Yes.
I know it's a game that losers in middle school play in their basement and 40-year-old losers who look at Fangraphs and think Markakis sucks play in their mama's basements. I think that's what
I actually don't think any of those people play D&D.
It's you guys call it D&D on the streets.
I mean, that's what it's called, Josh. Okay.
Do you guys have like gang signs?
Are we going to be LARPing?
No, not LARPing. Not live action roleplay. This is just roleplay.
I have
my
no
wife's
idea.
I've been talking about wanting to get into that, so.
Roleplay? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's what she meant. More Dungeons.
Are you gonna pretend you have an actual personality, JT? Is that where this is going? Can a role play actually having a life?
I'm gonna be a plumber that comes over, and then I actually start working on the plumbing.
Yeah. See, I actually took my wife and her parents while we were on vacation a few weeks ago, and I DM'd a.
This is really getting kinky.
Yeah, TM to starter Dungeons and Dragons game with them. It's a lot of fun, fellas. And for the record, there's a lot of people making a lot of money off of D&D right now.
Are you saying you DM'd a game? Mm-hmm. What are you talking like direct message? DM'd a game to someone.
Dungeon mastered, GM, game mastered, whichever term you want to use. But it's the person that leads the game.
Oh, so you're saying I met some people and I led a game. I facilitated a game or something. Is what you're saying?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of work goes into it, yeah. But, yeah. I probably spent 20-plus hours writing the story and putting it all together and having it ready for the
What are you talking
about
writing a story? What kind of game is it? I'm so confused. You write a story?
Okay, so let me just
JT, do you know what's going on?
So the way...
I have no idea. I visited a dungeon master once.
That's a different thing,
days.
JT. Different thing, JT.
It was hard to sit for a week.
Different thing, JT. But yeah, so the way it works, the way the game's played, Josh, is there's a universal set of rules.
Hang on.
I'm going to let you finish laughing at JT. I'll let you finish laughing at JT for a moment here.
Just saying, I wanted to explore, some other things. And, went to a dungeon.
I'm just curious why you couldn't sit down, because I can think of about 13 reasons you might not.
I
think of one reason.
Okay. I'm glad that's the paddles was the way he went with that. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's on the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the way the game is played, Josh, is there's a universal set of rules, basically.
Okay.
And you have a lot of different... You've been to Vegas, and you've rolled the old dice, right? You've
yes.
rolled some dice. Well, game is played by rolling dice to determine what your character does, but you get to make the decisions on how your character would go. So, for example, I might have an encounter, and you are a particular... Say, Josh, your character is a bard, so you play music and you do musical things to attack the enemy, right? And say JT's is a barbarian, so you're basically like a football player that just runs over people and smacks them with giant axes. So you run into a group of Braves bloggers, and they're there. This could be an actual storyline. The Braves bloggers are writing bad things about your favorite team's manager, and you get to decide, do you want to kill them? Or try to. Do you want to ignore them? Or, you know, do you want to politically intrigue, go around them, and, like, try to find who their boss is and basically get them fired? And I let you choose all of how you want to lead the encounter. I just have the basic story made up, and then I understand the rules of the game enough to be able to, you know, facilitate challenging you to roll the right dice, do the, you know, what you can and can't do legally in the game. But it's not like a board game. It's like a made up story, and then you play the character that you choose in the story. It's a lot of fun. Seriously. It's a lot of fun. I think Josh checked out about halfway through
Josh
that.
Josh would
anyway.
Attack them with his music?
He could, yeah.
That's
spells.
Wow.
Spells, yeah. Yeah. It's not the only way.
I would think if I wanted to punish my enemies, I would put on Josh's EP. Make them listen to it.
Nice. Nice. I like it, JT. I like it.
This is the most embarrassing thing ever.
What's embarrassing? Your EP or
yes!
Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes. So you're role playing like in person? Are you like
Yeah, like you're sitting at the table together.
Okay.
Right. And you're explaining to me what your character's doing. Like, you're not getting up and doing the actual moves or anything, but you're telling me, like,
so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, hey, just so you guys know, I'm destroying you guys with my music right now.
Well, no, you tell me exactly what you're doing. Like, what's your character doing? You have a limited set of actions that your character can do.
Okay, Mike.
Some of them would be, like, spells or different things.
Okay,
Mike,
my character is currently playing,
You shred the guitar that you have on your back.
Okay.
Or you play, or better yet, you play this amazing little ditty that
I'm playing is, Seminole Wind right now by John Anderson.
There you go.
Get wrecked.
There you go.
Get wrecked.
And as you do it, the music floats into the ears of the goblins that you are fighting, and it lulls them to sleep, slowly stealing the life force as an Indian scalps them. The magical Indian scalps them, as you've seen.
So that's what you would say? That's what I would say at the table?
No, not necessarily, no.
Josh, have you ever watched
you would say
Things?
Something along the. You would say something along the lines
yeah,
of...
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, I'm going to attack him with my spell that does this, and then as you get better at roleplay, then you could be like,
so
this is
like,
how I'm going to do
this is what kids
it.
Play?
This is the game they're playing
it's like
at the beginning
play,
of Stranger
yeah.
Things. With the Demogorgon and all that stuff, yeah.
Josh, just so you know, the largest D&D game right now on Twitch draws almost a million viewers a week, and they make millions of dollars doing it.
They play it live on Twitch?
Live on Twitch.
At a table?
Yes.
Okay,
Every Thursday night, there's a group of voice actors, a group called Critical Role. They do it. It's pretty cool.
So,
I was not a D&D guy until I saw Critical Role, and I was like, holy crap, that's really awesome. And then we got more and more into it, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And there's all different versions. So, like, your world might be, like, high fantasy, which is, like, elves and trolls and all that kind of stuff, but it could also be, like, futuristic. It could be a baseball world. It could be a football world. Like, you could write the whole story about going to a football game and getting in a fight with a bunch of Philly fans. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things you could do with D&D. It's a lot of fun, though.
So
it's pretty cool.
There's a lot of things you can do with it. So anybody can create a story. So there's not,
yep.
it's not like a game. It's not a prepackaged game you go buy.
You can get a prepackaged story, but that's not required. Like, the prepackaged part is like the rules and how the, like, how the rules actually. All right,
we gotta move on. JT's falling asleep, and I'm about.
No, he's not.
He's falling asleep.
He's smoking his Juul.
Okay.
No, when I was in middle school, like, some of the older kids on my street had got me into playing Magic the Gathering.
Which I remember that. Kinda, I played Magic. Yeah.
Similar. Yeah. And so we would come home after school and ride our bikes down to Bobby's place, and we'd sit there with his older brother, and we'd about four or five of us would play some Magic the Gathering. And then, like, on Tuesday nights, we would go to the comic book store, and they'd have Magic the Gathering tournaments, and we'd sit in there and play. And
wow, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Magic. My only experience with Magic was watching the South Park episode about Kenny and his friends, like, got together and they were playing Magic, and they were walking by some other kid's house who were playing Harry Potter, and they were walking by, and they, like, Kenny had like a wizard hat on or something, and he's like, "Harry Potter's for pussies." And that's all I remember.
Nice.
About Magic.
Nice. No, Magic is not really that much like D&D, but it is like nerds play it. I mean, no doubt. But yeah, D&D is a lot of fun, man. It's cool. I really do think you guys would actually enjoy it if you got past your mental block thinking that only weird nerds played it. I think you would actually really, really have a ton of fun with it.
Yeah, but only weird nerds play it, so.
Yeah. A weird nerd.
You're both the nerdiest weirdos I've ever met.
That is not true.
We're nerdy. We're nerdy in different ways, though.
Yeah,
we're nerdy in cool shit, like Alan Jackson.
Exactly.
Like cool stuff.
Like all that plays. You could make all of that into a fantastic D&D session.
What are you talking? I don't even understand.
I'm telling you, you could turn Alan Jackson music into your weapon, and it would be a ton of fun.
Into my weapon?
Just saying. Yeah. If you're a bard, you shred out on Chattahoochee, and like the waves magically go out into the goblin, and like, yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
I remember
stuff you could do with
it. There was a time where my wife like absolutely shattered my world because I was going on some rant about dorks and nerds and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, "You're the biggest dork there is." And I'm like, "I am not a dork." And then she's like, "You have autographed pictures all over the place on your wall of college athletes that you don't even know. Like 100% 20,
true.
21-year-old men."
100% true.
And I'm like,
"You record a podcast for 3 hours a week."
Right. And I'm like, "We talk baseball." And she's like, "That's nerdy. That's dumb." And I was like, "Oh, I guess it is. Okay."
I'm just saying.
All right.
Josh.
She's so mean.
If you would do a one shot, like, and what a one shot is means it's like a one weekend, you know, you play it basically over 3 or 4 hours.
Well, how would I play? Would I have to be there physically with you?
No, not necessarily. They have online ways that you could play. There's like some, you'd have to download a little basic stuff to your computer, but it's not, and you could play long distance. And
Nikki
could play, you could play with me and Cynthia. And
like, is there like a channel? Would we be on a Twitch channel or something?
No, not necessarily. We could play it completely private. Wouldn't have to be a Twitch at all.
No, I'm not doing it if it's not private.
Well, it'd be 100% private. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It needs to be public.
Oh, yeah, okay.
People need to see this.
Well, I can record it. We can make a bunch of money off of it because I'm sure a lot of people would pay to listen to Josh Brown play.
Apparently, having things like this on your wall, like a Nick Chubb autographed picture, which I thought was really cool, and that's what cool
that
kids
is
did.
Cool. That is cool.
It is cool. That it is cool. But it's also apparently really nerdy. So
it is.
It's just different things to be nerdy about.
So maybe next time you guys come up for a weekend, we'll hang out, and I'll give like a little crash course into how D&D works, and we could play like a little miniature one shot, and you kind of see how it works.
And I'm gonna go back to that gas station and make a bid on their Macho Man Randy Savage
one shot.
Yeah, it's just a one shot. Just means like it's not a continuing story that goes on for months and months and months. It just means it's like, you know, it's a one time play thing, like, and then you're done with it.
Do you guys have like a local comic book store in your towns?
I don't. No, we used to when I was a kid, but they're all gone now.
Yeah,
I've got one downtown. Let me tell you.
Our governor shut down stuff. I'm not sure if you guys knew that. So, like, there's this one place. And so, if Austin Riley Rakes is listening, because he was like, "How can your governor impact Boone?" I'm like, he could mandate them to stay shut and they go out of business. So, anyways, yeah, there's a place in Boone, but it's not here anymore because
Yeah.
The governor made them shut down.
We got one downtown about a block from my office. Trump 2020. And I walk in there because they used to have like vintage baseball cards in there. And
I had apparently, that place, yeah.
This is now the place where all the crap that the nerds had to take throughout high school and college. Now I'm walking into their locker room, so and they see me coming a mile away. Like
is this an Antifa hit hub now?
No, but this is like I give off the vibe that I'm not into comics. Like they can tell by looking at me, you know, that I'm not. Because I'm not wearing a Deadpool t-shirt, so like they know what.
Your beard stops before it gets to your neck? Yeah, all right.
Dude, one of the last times I was in there was a man in the middle of the summer wearing a trench coat in there.
That's
His friend's shirt ended at his belly button. Wow. And they were with their mother, one of their mothers.
I dig it.
And so for whatever reason, they can pick up. So I ask a question, like, you know, because my kids like comic books and stuff. My son likes Batman. He's 5, you know. So I'm like, hey, do you guys have any Batman comics? Which I think is a legit question. And the guy looks at me like, you freaking idiot. Of course we have Batman comics. They're over there. And like with disgust, he just points like that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't even look up.
And there's like 6 different current Batman comics that are all running at the same time.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. So I just buy like the cheapest ones, you know, $3 or whatever, buy a clip of a Batman comic. And then I go check out and I'm like, do you guys still have baseball cards? Because the last time I was there, they had like a whole set of like 88 Donruss. And they were selling them for like 80 cents a pack. And the guy gave me like 7 packs. And he was like, $5 for all these. And I'm like, sold. Cool. So I was like, hey, do you guys have any baseball cards? And he literally rolls his eyes. And he's like, oh, you're one of those. And all they had was like the 2020, you know, Topps collection, you know, baseball. So I bought a pack of baseball cards. Yeah, he's like, oh, baseball. Oh, you come in here for sports stuff. Like, that was the worst thing ever. And I'm like, they only sell 1 pack of baseball cards. Now, they have, like, 9 different sets of Pokemon cards. And, like, a whole bunch of other stuff I didn't know what it was. But baseball, he's like, he trembled. And I was like,
that's
okay, like, that's what I'm into. I'm nerdy about baseball cards. You can be nerdy about Batman. It's all the same. It's all nerdiness.
Well, you know, to be fair, the baseball card collectors and the people that like baseball have pissed on the... I pissed on the guys that like the comic books for a lot of their life.
And this is like epic payback for him to be like, okay, cool kid.
Exactly.
You're a nerd. So trust me, buddy.
You were talking about comic book stores. When I was probably like 13, 14. I went up to my cousins and they had a comic book store in a town adjacent to ours. And we went and it was like this little seedy kind of backwoods place, and I didn't know anything about it, so we went in and just like picked out some comics, right? Like just dug through. They had like Dollar Bin or something like that. It might have even been less than that. So I just found some really cool looking cover art, you know, like I didn't know what I was buying. So I buy this comic and I get in the van and start home and start like reading it, you know, like I pull it out of the case because it was the way they were selling them, these were in like cases, you know, like in the little plastic cases, so you couldn't look at them until you bought them. So I get in the car and start reading it, and it's like full. Now, this was like 93 to 96, somewhere in that range probably. It's like full of F-bombs, and it's got some nudity drawn in it. And I'm like, I don't think this is what I wanted. And so I like gave it to my aunt who took us, and she's like, we're taking this back right now. So she took it back and got a refund on it.
For $1?
Yeah.
Get your dollar back, man.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah, I never got into collect because, like, I can't collect like 800 of something. That seems insane, right? Like, and have you ever seen these books? They have these omnibus. I think I'm saying that right. And like a Spider-Man one will go on Amazon, and it's like $450 for a big book of Spider-Man comics. What?
You've never had 800 baseball cards at one time?
Okay, but I'm not like. Okay, but I'm not like
you never put them in a big set, you never put them in a complete card catalog set that had them all like in the little sleeves together and had a complete Donruss 88 set that you could sell online to certain people a particular way. Definitely didn't keep the really special ones that were like, you know, the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card and make a big deal out of it.
Oh yeah, I guess you're right. That's true.
Touche.
Speaking of baseball cards, did you guys see Mike Trout's rookie card and what it just sold for at auction?
Yeah, what the hell? Like, what idiot?
What
happened? Who's the idiot that bought it?
Okay, I don't know, but my friend Kent is big into sports memorabilia. He's got, I mean, you guys, your jaw would drop if you saw his collection. He's the guy I get all my stuff from. And he was like, who are these idiots? Like, I don't understand this. Mike Trout's right. rookie card sold for well north, I think it was $3.3
million. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Why?
This is 2009. You know, this is not... what a freaking psycho. This is not...
Who?
Yeah, I don't... Okay, my only guess is somebody with like $800 million to their name. And right, so $3 million is like... Yeah, no, yeah, $3 million is like spending $100. You know, no big deal to them. That's the only thing I can imagine.
Wait. Time out. You guys interviewed the guy that caught Acuna's home run ball, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a little crazy.
And Joe is Joe. You know, like, he'll admit he's insane about collecting. Like, and he is. He's completely
graphing, as he called
this
it.
This is why he's insane, though. Like, it's freaking huge money. But,
if he had $10 million, if Joe had $10 million, he'd spend $3 million on an Acuna rookie card.
But here's the thing about a Mike Trout 100%. Rookie card: can't you just buy a bunch of 2009?
That's what
tops
I thought when
or
I
Upper Deck or whatever.
Right, that's what I thought.
Hope you find it.
It can't be rare, right?
It's super rare. It's super rare. And
oh, is it really?
See, the way they do, they've changed the way they do cards now, and so. When a card comes out, and now somebody listening is probably going to correct this because I'm not an expert on this, but this is my understanding of it. When they print these cards now, they only print one of the Mike Trout gold, like hologram style, and it has a certain color that goes around the outside of it, and it's a particular kind, and there's only one of them ever printed. And there may be then like 50 that are printed that have like a silver thing around the outside. And then there may be like 250 that are printed that have like a bronze thing around the outside.
Yes.
And
you're correct.
And then there's like thousands that are printed that are just kind of like a normal card, basically. But if you get one of those premium packs,
this is so weird.
It can be super.
The article written by our great friend, Darren Rovell, $3.84 million was sold at auction. It's a Mike Trout Bowman Chrome Super Fractor, which I don't know what that is.
Okay.
It's a one of one. There's the only one. There's no other like it. It's one of one. They made one. Surpasses the $3.1 million spent on the famous Honus Wagner T206 card produced 100 years before in 1909. So, goodness gracious.
We should just have Stacy on the show. She could give us the inside scoop of the Braves while simultaneously telling us all about baseball cards.
She confirms she does hate Josh. But the dude who put it up for auction paid 2 years ago, the guy who owned the card paid $400,000 for it.
Wow. That's,
Years later, sells it for $3.84 million. My goodness.
Can I be honest? Right now, Josh looks like he's about to go on Survivor and kick everyone's butt and win the entire show. He's wearing a set of Dale Earnhardt Intimidator glasses with a bandana tied around the top of his head with a scruffy beard. He's either going to play Jesus in the next Passion of the Christ film, or he's going to be a youth pastor on a mission trip, or he's going on Survivor. I'm not sure which of the three, but Josh is prepared right now.
You know what? It's my life. My story.
Mm-hmm. It's now or never. You're not going to live forever. It's your life.
I wasn't going to go in that direction, but that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, JT. Help us understand some more.
Here's my beef with this. At the same auction, the only perfect Jim Mint Nolan Ryan rookie, I believe that's 1968, I believe, sold for $600,000. You're telling me that a Nolan Ryan rookie for $600,000 and a Mike Trout rookie for $3.84 million? My goodness, I'd rather have them with Nolan Ryan.
But, Mike Trout's Nolan Ryan is not the greatest player to have ever played the game, and Mike Trout is.
That could be true. He's in the discussion already.
I felt sacrilegious saying that, and then I thought, I'm not wrong, though. That's 100% true. Mike Trout's the best player to play the game of baseball.
You're right. The idea of Nolan Ryan is a lot better than Nolan Ryan statistically was. Seven no-hitters is really, really cool. Doing this like in his 40s. But when you look at Nolan Ryan's stats, outside of strikeouts, which, again, he compiled over a career that lasted like 25 years, you know, his other numbers are not ungodly. They're not
in
other
theory, that should not be a 1-of-1 card, though, in theory.
No, but see, they built in the value because of making it,
yeah,
you know, the only one card, you know, so.
Right. What I'm saying is Nolan Ryan's card shouldn't be the only.
It's the only card. Only known in mint condition.
Gotcha. Okay.
That,
but the fact that there's other cards, even not in mint condition, pulls down the value a little bit.
Give me one in shitty condition. I'll take a Nolan Ryan rookie, like. Absolutely. You know, I don't care if the corner is bent a little bit. Like, it's a Nolan Ryan rookie card. That's pretty cool.
So there's a lot of crazy stats in baseball. Most insane stat I've ever heard. Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young.
Right.
Yeah, I knew that.
You would think he
Most people don't know that, though. Most people think,
back
like,
his
Nolan
way
Ryan. Anyway.
Seven no-hitters.
Because if you take out his, I mean, that sounds great, but his other stats were just, I won't say pedestrian, but they weren't what you would think they
Strikeout
were.
Strikeout king. Strikeout king,
yeah.
Baby.
Oh, yeah. His strikeouts were great. But again, he played for 25 years. So you're going to get a lot of strikeouts.
The other thing, back then, strikeouts were not as big a deal as they are now. And like, don't get me wrong. You still wanted your pitcher to be able to strike people out. But, like pitchers just didn't care as much about, like, nailing down the strikeout as they do now.
Yeah, JT, right? I got a little bone to pick. He led the league in strikeouts in 72, 73, 74, 76, 77, 78, 79.
How many did he have?
87, 88.
How many did he have those years?
89.
So, I mean, you don't have to name them all, but 90. Just kind of.
Mid-200s, in 73, he had 383 strikeouts.
It's insane. Eddie pitched, what, 320 innings?
73, 383 strikeouts, 326 innings.
Well, that's a pretty good guess. I said 323.
Golly,
I wasn't looking.
And
I got within three innings. Holy crap.
Throwing 98, just gas.
Yep.
Until he was 46. 46, man. Do you guys remember? Because we're kind of the same age. 91, 92. You know, Nolan Ryan's having Advil commercials. It's the early 90s. He's 44, 45 years old, man. Still sling.
He whooped Robin Ventura's butt at age 45.
In 91, that's my first, like, in 91, I'm 8 years old. I'm watching the Braves with my dad. Nolan Ryan is, like, my idol. We've got the same birthday. In 91, 44-year-old Nolan Ryan, 2.91 ERA. 203 strikeouts. It's just stupid. Yeah, his whip at age 44, 91 was 1.006. Stupid. Just insane.
That's wild.
Man.
That's wild.
Sorry, I got a nerd out on Nolan Ryan when I have the opportunity.
Hey, are you fellas ready to stump the chumps?
Oh God.
Is it Nolan Ryan?
It is not Nolan Ryan.
I really thought we were going to get out of this.
You thought you were? Yeah. You thought you were going to miss one this week?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, no. I couldn't
allow. I hate this part of the show.
You hate being wrong. It's what it comes down to, right? I've got a real tricky one for you this week, too.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Trickier than Braves legend Dave Martinez that you had for us last week?
Yeah, a little bit. All right, so I will give you the year on this one because we're going back before 1990. This former Braves player from 1988 was drafted by the Atlanta Braves in the third round of the 1982 MLB June Amateur Draft out of Indiana State University. He attended North Platte High School in Nebraska.
He was drafted
in
what year?
1982.
He was drafted in 82.
You're saying 88. Did he only play 1 year?
Huh?
Wait, you're saying 88. Like, that's not just the year. You just picked that one.
1988 is the year. One of the years that he played for the Atlanta Braves.
One of the years. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
He was drafted in 82. So he could have played in 94, but you're just telling us 88 is one of the years he played for the Braves.
He's just making a point that he went beyond the 1990 barrier a little bit.
Right. Okay. If he were much past that, I probably would not be I would probably not be referencing the fact that he was an 80s Braves player. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Right.
He was drafted in 82. So he was an 80s Braves player.
At least in 88 he was.
Lots of the Braves were 80s Braves players in 1988.
That's true.
At least nine of them.
Yeah.
Probably as much as 25. Maybe more.
Maybe more.
Yeah. You guys want to guess instead of beat a dead
horse? Okay, so, all right. Did you say he went to college, or you said North Platte High School? So he was drafted out of high school?
He went North Platte High School. He did go to college.
Indiana State. The Sycamores.
He's from Nebraska?
Yes, he is.
I didn't know that baseball players came from Nebraska because they're all Caucasian.
Darren Erstad played college ball in Nebraska.
No.
Football. Yeah, played for the Cornhuskers. Hmm. So, okay.
You guys ever been to Nebraska?
Yeah. My aunt and uncle have lived in Omaha many years. Underrated town, Omaha, Nebraska.
Agreed.
Home of the Creighton Blue Jays. Okay, so... all right, position player. Was this man a position player?
He was not.
A pitcher of some sort from Nebraska. Indiana State Sycamores. Alma mater of Larry Bird. Okay.
Josh, JT, if you have a guess, you're free to fire away, but otherwise it'd be...
Was it Pete Smith?
No, it was not. Strong guess.
Strong guess, yeah.
Throw one.
Did this player have a beard?
As far as I know, he did not.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure there were some weekends in his life where he may have sported one.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally possible, but...
So it's not unless my you mean, like... It's not my father-in-law's best friend, Steve Bedrosian, so...
Unless you meant beard as in, like, a fake girlfriend because he's secretly gay.
Connor Paul? No.
Wow. Wow! All right. Next clue. He was left-handed.
Oh. Was he now? Was he known for having a good pickoff move?
Not that I'm aware of.
But a lot of left-handers are. Being left-handed is a great pickoff move.
Let me see if I can find out any more details on that particular.
He's got to be a white guy. He's from Nebraska. And he went to Indiana State.
Interesting theory.
Theory what?
What? Okay.
Lefty. Nebraska. Braves. 88. It's not Avery, because Avery was drafted after that. He was like a baby in 92, 93.
Yeah, he was 21.
It's obviously,
91.
It's not Glavin. Or maybe it is Glavin. No, Glavin's from Massachusetts.
He's from Balearica, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Did you guys see that little thing he did with the Soroka on the hockey rink?
No.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, it was like a rain delay filler thing, segment thingy majiggy.
That was a legit badass on the rink.
It's pretty good.
Starter or reliever?
He would be a starter.
Lefty.
And only one season did he seem to have a really good pickoff move.
Did he have a mullet?
Probably. It's possible.
Got to be Kent Barker.
It is not Kent Barker. But I would call it a mullet, though. But it's the 80s. I mean, a lot of guys had mullets. So.
Well, not
even
call
it a mullet back then.
Not everybody had a mullet. Ryan Sandberg didn't have a mullet in the 80s.
I didn't say everybody, Josh. I said a lot of people.
Ricky Henderson. I mean.
Golly.
All right. Fire away. Who else we got?
Was it Zane Smith?
It was Zane Smith. Great call.
Nice.
Great call.
Nice.
Great call. Zane Smith. Yeah.
Nice
he called us. Play for
I
the
got a Zane
Pirates
Smith card somewhere.
And the Experts.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good with the Pirates.
surprisingly put up like 20.2 WAR in his career, which really not that bad for a guy that only played 13 years in the majors. I mean,
he played longer.
That's
than
yeah, it's more than one.
Wait,
that's like
13 years.
Zane Smith.
Baby. So Zane Smith was playing in like 2001.
Nope. Zane Smith started playing in 84.
Okay.
And his career ended in 96.
Okay, I still don't even remember Zane Smith pitching into the mid-90s.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. He Pittsburgh. He spent a lot of time at Pittsburgh. During all those years when the Braves were catching Pittsburgh in the postseason, Zane Smith was pitching for them.
Yeah. I think I knew that.
He also had a stop at Boston late in his career, but it was just a one-year thing. So, yeah. Old Zane Smith. Yeah, there you go. He did have like 15 pickoffs 1 year, but that was a really good year for him, I think. The rest of it, he had like, I don't know, though. I mean, like 7 pickoffs in a year is not too bad. He had that several times, so he must have had a pretty decent move. But anyway, Zane Smith, let's talk some Braves, fellas. How about we talk some Braves?
All right, then.
Let's look, a lot of people are talking trades. We're not going to dig into trades because, let's be honest, there's like 14,000 things that could happen. No one really knows exactly what the trade market's going to look like this offseason, so we're going to talk about trades after the fact. The Braves need some pitching. I don't think they're going for the top of the candy like some people want them to. I don't think Lance
they
Lynn's
never
the
do.
Site.
They never
I would
do.
Think the Braves, I would think the Braves, if anything, are looking for some like innings eaters kind of guy. I would think the highest guy on any of those lists that might make sense would be Johnny Cueto. Cueto's a good pitcher, but you know he's not what he once was, and I think he could eat a lot of innings. He's also owed a lot of money. You don't have to give up much for him. I can see the Braves doing that. Anyway, JT, what were you about to say?
I was gonna say, like, you put Lance Lynn at the top of the list. I'd be happier with Johnny Cueto than I would Lance Lynn.
Right. Lance Lynn's one of the best pitchers in the American League right now.
What?
Yep. Look
that's
it up.
Crazy.
Well, yeah, it doesn't really matter. This is basically still April in a normal world.
No, like last year, Lance Lynn was also one of the best pitchers in the American League.
I never heard of her. Hey, do you guys know Kent Merker played for the Orioles?
No.
I didn't either, man.
Look at that.
Michael Lane Kent sent Merker. Me a bunch of baseball cards.
Did you know that last
Has
year...
Has Michael Lane sent you guys baseball cards?
Lance Lynn went 16-11 with a 3.6...
I'll take that as a name.
With a 3.67 ERA. This year, Lance Lynn is 3-0 with a 1.37 ERA.
Hmm. Yeah.
His whip is currently 0.814.
What about his nay-nay?
It's sad. Anyway. But anyway, we're not going to dig too much into that. I do want to talk about the big news in Braves country that everyone's freaking out about. Christian Pache called up. Do you know what his last name means? I discovered this week. Do you know what his last name means?
No. I do not know. Do
it
not
means
know.
Patch.
Like you're patching
like
a hole?
Or like a eye patch.
Oh.
Makes sense.
Our buddy Dan Keats informed me that it's a very common nickname in Latino. It's a very uncommon last name. And that's kind of interesting.
Interesting.
Anyway,
cool.
Christian Pache gets called up. Old Patch gets called up. A lot of people upset that he's not playing every game every day. Injury in Ciarte's kind of sucked. Let's be honest. He always starts slow. But he's really sucked not just offensively but also defensively this year. And a lot of people are really mad, apparently, online that Christian Pache not playing every day. Rather than like getting into an argument here with all the bloggers out there that are freaking out and everything, let's talk a little bit because our philosophy is always Brian Snickers. We just always assume Brian Snicker and Alex Anthopoulos are not idiots. That's our first assumption.
Right.
Unlike a lot of people whose first assumption is that they are idiots, our assumptions, they're not idiots. There's a reason they're doing what they're doing. So let's dig into a little bit. Why in the world are they not playing their best prospect every day since they've called him up? Because if I were the coach, I would be playing him every day.
Yeah, yeah. I think that you mentioned this in our group chat the other night, and I actually agree with this. I think they might be shopping Ender, you know? At the same time, though, like there's no rush on Pache. He's young. I guess part of me just doesn't care that much. It's kind of like Donahue tweeted the other day. Donahue's like, some of y'all care way more about lineups than I do. And that's kind of how I feel about this. Like, I know he's going to eventually play. He, based on his profile, based on everything that we've heard, he is going to be an everyday outfielder and a fabulous one. So I guess because I know that, I don't really give two shits if he's not starting his first week in the majors during an asterisk season while also Ender's playing. And also, like, since I tweeted that thing last weekend, Ender's hitting 300. Like, he just is. Like, he's
Ender's just so freaking hard to watch right now.
I know.
He doesn't drop the bat. Oh, my God. He's just
I do so agree with that. And I would rather watch Christian Pache. I also think there's a little bit of a misconception with his game, mainly amongst Braves bloggers. So I don't think that he's going to necessarily be like an empty average slap hitter per se, but I don't think he's going to be a power hitter. I could be wrong about that.
I think he's going to be. I don't think he's going to be immediately. I think the first year or two, if you had a 162 game season, I would bet the under on 15 home runs. Okay. 3 years from now, I would easily bet the over. You know what I'm saying? But like the first year or two, this is a guy that's never hit more than 12 home runs in the minors. You know, I mean, he's developing his swing, but I don't think it's there yet. And he's going to have to learn to hit major league pitching. Go ahead, JT.
Well, I think the easy comparison is Ronald Acuña. Well, Ronald Acuña was our last big superstar outfielder, young guy prospect. So this guy needs to come up and produce and be treated just like Acuña. Well, two things. A, we were a much different team when Ronald Acuña was called up. We had no expectations of seriously winning the division. Now, we ended up winning the division, but it came out of nowhere. We weren't supposed to be that good that early. So when Ronald Acuña came up, our expectations were totally different. Second thing is, this guy does not have the power of Ronald Acuña. Could Christian Pache develop into a really good outfielder? Of course he could. Gold glove defense? Certainly. But is he in the upper echelon where Ronald Acuña is, where you can arguably say he's the best, one of the best all-around players in the game? Fernando Tatis Jr., Mike Trout, those type of guys. And that's the kind of talent Ronald Acuña is, where you can make arguments that if you're going to build your team around any young superstar, Ronald Acuña is in that one, two, or three guys that you would be like, hey, that's the guy I would build my team around for the next 10 to 15 years.
So I'm going to
disagree. Christian Pache is not on what part?
I have said this for 2 years. I still think Christian Pache has a chance at being a bigger superstar than Ronald Acuña. He's not as ready as Ronald Acuña was when Ronald came into the big leagues. I will agree with you that today, without a doubt, Ronald Acuña is the much better player. Like, I'm not doubting that. I don't know if it will be that way their entire careers, and I think Pache has a higher ceiling than Acuña, which is insane to say.
I mean, you're saying that about a guy who was talking going into the season about chasing 50-50.
I know.
And that's it's the insane level of play that you get from Ronald Acuña.
I'm also talking about the kid who hit home plate with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball standing flat-footed in left field. I'm just saying, not a shot at Acuña at all. This is saying I do think Pache is that caliber player.
I don't think
he's offensively there yet.
He's not going to have four. It's going to be a long time before I see 40 home runs off the bat of Christian Pache.
No, but you may see 320 and 30 home runs.
Sure. I got a hot take.
Let's see.
I was listening to the game the other Sunday night, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. A-Rod
sucks.
A-Rod does suck, but I didn't tweet this because I didn't feel like getting shamed for 2 days, but his take on Ronald Acuña, I think, is correct. He's high on Ronald Acuña, thinks he's a superstar, but the way he plays can be injury prone because he's just balls out. And if you say that on Twitter, you're a boomer and you know what I mean? But I think there's some truth in that. And the way A-Rod talked about it wasn't like this super negative way. And I mean, I thought he was nuanced about it and was like, look, just the way he plays right now is just super excitable. If he can manage that a little bit, he's going to be incredible.
I don't feel that way when I watch him, though.
You're out of your mind. What are you talking about? He's like balls to the wall.
He doesn't play like Malik Smith.
I was told that he doesn't even run out.
You know, a double. You know, he barely jogs to first base. He hits a long ball and is carelessly jogging. He's doing the moonwalk down the first baseline.
No, seriously, I guess I see what he's saying. Do you think he plays like Malik Smith?
No, I think he plays like that in the outfield. I don't know about base paths per se, but like in the outfield, I think he does. I think he's a little bit careless.
I don't remember even seeing Acuna dive for a ball in the outfield.
Are you calling him lazy?
No, Josh, I'm not.
I mean, I think that's what you're trying to say.
I don't see that at all. Like I don't see him the way I saw Bryce Harper a few years ago, who would like, you know, to Bryce Harper's credit, he'd be like, I don't care if there's a wall there. I'm going to run all out. And if I run to the damn wall, then I run to the damn wall. Well, yeah. You know, people are like, dude, like, you're going to get a concussion. Like, stop. Like, what's wrong with you? You know?
Yeah.
And don't be a knucklehead. Like, that wall's hard. It's going to win.
I mean, like, I don't see Acuna doing things like that. I also don't see him, I feel like Acuna's defense has gone down since he came to the major leagues because he's not playing as risky. Like, in the minors, Josh, I agree with you that we actually thought Acuna was going to be one of the best defensive center fielders that we'd ever seen.
Yeah.
He got to the majors, and he has not played that way since coming to the pros, right? Like, I mean, I don't feel like he's looked like the same guy you thought he was going to be defensively.
I thought he was going to be Andrew Jones
2.0, and he's kind of not.
But in the corner outfield spot, even when he's played center some. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm just saying I don't think you have to put your body at as much risk in right field as you do at center.
I agree.
Could he? Could you move Acuna to center and be great defensively? Yeah, I think his athleticism is going to take over. Like, that's the thing about Acuna. Mm-hmm. If you try to tamper down those things that A-Rod thinks are dangerous or reckless, you're losing the value of who Acuna is. His best asset, his overall athleticism. Like, he's not a baseball player. Dude, he's an athlete that plays baseball. And so if he's not stealing second, if you're wanting to tamper those out, because, like, that's one thing that worries me. When he runs and steals second, dude, he does not half-ass it. He goes full into the base, and he is blazing down the line, running in 4-4 speed right away. And that's a great thing.
I could see that being maybe, like what you were saying, Josh, like maybe some of that, like especially the stolen base sides of things.
I don't actually watch most of the games, just for the record. So I don't.
But I think that's a huge advantage that the Braves have over a lot of their division competition is guys like Albies and Acuna, who you can go on a base hit first to home, and he used that athleticism and that speed where Acuna's coming down the third baseline, full head of steam, and he's going all out. Whereas, you know, you've got, look at the Phillies. They've got Jay Bruce and Andrew McCutchen in the outfield. Those guys do not have the same level of athleticism that Mr. Acuna does. And that's a big benefit that we have a lot of young athletes. If Rob Manfred decides that, you know what, we're going to make the postseason interesting and any extra innings games in the postseason, we're going to settle with a 3-on-3 basketball game. The Braves have a very good chance of winning. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or name your sport. Maybe they go to the outfield and they have a flag football game to determine the winner of the game. I would say
you're being hyperbolic there a little bit, JT. But
you never know what Manfred's going to do.
You never know what he might do next.
But hey, if you're a Braves fan, be all for the flag football game because I think the Braves will do outstanding with the type of athletes they have on this team. And will he have to tamper that down when he's 29 years old? Yeah, probably, because you're going to end up with, like, King Griffey Jr. You know, when Griffey got a little older, he couldn't play the same way, his body just wouldn't hold up.
Well, I think there's coming a point very soon where this Braves team, it doesn't make sense for Acuna to lead off all the time. People are not going to like that statement, but if you've got Dansby playing as hot as he is right now, you get Ozzie back and Ozzie swinging the bat hot, I think you need to leave Freddie in the tool hole and let Acuna bat third, like, or put Acuna into and let Freddie bat third. I don't care which, but if those two guys are hot, put somebody on base in front of him as often as you possibly can. You know,
a top four of Dansby, Freddie, Acuna, and Ozuna
It's pretty good.
Pretty awesome. Pretty lethal in my opinion.
And let's then get Ozzy going again. And I mean, that this is the thing, and it goes back to kind of like I said, we're not going to talk trades too much, but the Braves don't need the best starter in baseball added to this team. It would be cool, but they don't really need that. This team can score runs on almost anyone. Scoring runs is not the problem. They just need the pitcher to not give up seven. Like, now, they need somebody that can go out there and pitch six innings and give up four runs, and they'll win most of those games.
Would I feel a lot better if we went into the playoffs?
Those pitchers
with...
don't exist anymore, gentlemen.
They do.
No, they don't.
If we went to the playoffs with Max Fried, Cole Hamels, Johnny Cueto, and name your fourth guy, I'd feel a lot better.
I've heard
because you've got experience. You've got some guys who have been there before.
Yeah,
I don't want Robbie Erlin seems like a nice kid. I don't want to see Robbie Erlin
face of the Yankees
pitching a game. In the NLDS. I don't want to see.
I've been seeing some thought leaders tweet about old Johnny Cueto. I'm in because that SOB has a really fun Instagram account, and he likes to ride horses. He'll post a picture of himself like barefoot, shirtless, like on some like white Mustang.
Yeah.
Like in a
He's
jungle.
He's crafty.
I'm like, dude,
I like
coolest guy ever.
Going back to why Pache's not playing every day, we talked about Ender. I think they're showcasing him a little bit. I think they're trying to get Ender going. Like, if you can get his average up a little bit, he looks more enticing to a team that if you're going to possibly trade him, right? The other thing is, like, Brian Snicker said that he was prioritizing offense. And then, like, everybody's like, yeah, but you played Ender. And I'm like, well, that's because he's trying to get Ender going for showcase reasons. But right now, you don't know what Pache is
assuming that.
Offensively.
We could be wrong about that. We're making an assumption there. But yeah. We're generally right.
But you don't know how Pache is going to be offensively. He's a big question mark. Austin Riley's still a question mark. He seems to be figuring some things out, which is awesome, but he's still a question mark. And right now, you don't have Ozzy or Acuna in the lineup. Like, Christian Pache playing in the game does not stop Josh Tomlin from giving up three home runs and four runs in the beginning of the game the other night. And that's not a shot at Josh Tomlin. He's being asked to do something that's not really, like, in his wheelhouse right now. But Pache being in the game doesn't stop that. And it does not motivate more offense to come out of the team when you don't know what you have in the kid. And so what Snicker says, he's like, I want as much offense out there as I can get. And basically, with the exception of Enciarte, because we need Enciarte out there for a different reason. Now, he hasn't really said that, but that's what people are guessing. And that's what I would guess.
Yeah, and right now, you're telling me, if I told you guys before the season that the Braves would lose Newcomb, Folty, Soroka out for the year with injury.
Yeah, well, I could have predicted Folty.
Albies and Acuna would miss a majority of, almost half the games played due to injury. Where would you think the Braves would be in the standings? I mean, those are five key contributors to this ball team. I mean,
I definitely wouldn't
think
they were 16-12 and up quite a few games.
So I think Snicker's reasoning is, hey, we have weathered the storm here. It can't get much worse. Let's hold down the fort until Acuna and Albies can get back, which hopefully will be very soon. They can get back in and get back in the lineup. And then maybe I'll have a little breathing room where we can get Pache some more at-bats and a little more experimentation with him in the lineup. But right now, it's kind of all hands on deck. We're riding with the veterans that have been here because of the situation that we're in.
And last but not least, a lot of blogger people will be the first to point this out once it happens, but they ignore it until it happens. And that is, if you bring Christian Pache up right now and he's not ready to hit, they see something, they're like, he's not quite there yet. If you bring him up, you decrease his value in any potential trade. You decrease his value because now people are like, oh, wow, well, he didn't do any good against starting pitching. He didn't do any good against major league pitching. He's not as valuable. Look at Austin Riley. Austin Riley's trade value is way down right now because people still aren't sure if he can hit or not against major league pitching.
Right.
Austin, to me, I'm watching him, and I think he's turned a corner, and I think you're fixing to see a big breakout from him. But that being said, it's still a question mark right now. Like, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen, Yeah. And And his trade value is now far less than it was a year ago after he hit 20 home runs in the first 40 games he played or whatever ridiculousness it was, you know.
Yeah.
And so if you bring Pache up too early, you risk not only stunting his growth and development like they did with Dansby when they brought him up too early, but you also risk losing the value to be able to trade him if it doesn't start to develop, you know. And right. And I think there's just a lot of reasons that the Braves have that they can be patient. I wish they weren't. I wish they would bring him up and play him every day. But I can make tons of reasonable arguments that make a lot of sense for why they wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, I think they have to be patient with him right now because Dansby's having a great year. But coming in this year, Dansby was a career 253 hitter.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for all the things, and there's things we like about Dansby, there's things we don't like about his stupid T-shirts. But, I mean, this is a career year so far for Dansby because up until this point, he has never been able to stay healthy and never been able to have a consistent bat all the way through the season.
Well, now Josh has figured out the reason for this, by the way. Josh has figured out the reason for this.
Yeah.
Josh? Share with our listeners the deep reasoning behind why Dansby is having a breakout year.
Right. Back in November of 2019, MLB decided to stop or to take away or to remove marijuana from the banned substance list. And that is why Dansby is flourishing like a beautiful blossoming flower, playing out of his mind. Playing like 1980.
Because he's out of his mind. Because yeah. He's actually out of his mind.
He has. Yeah. He's been forced to go to his hotel room. He's on Twitch. He's smoking a doobie, and he is doing what the Lord's called him to do, baby.
Playing
just
God
rake,
yeah. Smoking dope. Yeah,
yeah.
There you raking. Go.
I'm keeping up with it. If he wins MVP, I'm just telling you. It will be shouted from the rooftops of Knock On the Nation Twitter account that Dylan Short will be getting a Dansby Swanson tattoo. He's already yes. said if he would get a tattoo of Dansby's face if he ever won MVP. So come on, MVP. Just saying.
Outstanding. But, you know, there's if Christian Pache plays every day and stinks, which happens to a lot of rookies, a lot of young guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come up and they go 1-for-20, you know, starting out. That happens to the best of us. We run the risk of having a lot of black holes in the lineup. You know, yeah. Riley has yet to turn the corner. We think he is going to, and I agree. But to a certain extent, guys like Adam Duvall and Matt Adams are offensive liabilities, too. They're not.
Yeah. They've been productive, but you don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah.
Right. They've been productive in a very small sample size, but Adam Duvall is a career 230 hitter. Matt Adams was a free agent up until like a week before the season for a reason. I mean, he can get you a little pop in the lineup, but he's not a complete player. And so you run the risk of running out a everyday lineup where half your guys are just not complete ball players. And luckily we have a luxury of being able to wait a little bit because, well, let's face it, the other teams in the division have not done their job of winning ball games. And so it's allowed us to be a little bit patient here, wait for two of our best players, Acuña and Albies, to come back and be healthy, and allow us to be a little patient. We don't have to put Pache out there.
Either. Three of our best players, Nick Markakis as well.
Also Nick Markakis.
And for the record, Nick Markakis is playing out of his mind right now, especially facing righties. He's been destroying
because
righties.
That's what he does. He is Nick Markakis.
Yeah. I would platoon him probably right now, but he would be playing against every right-handed pitcher that ever comes up against Atlanta right now because he's playing out of his mind. Even Gaurav Vedek said right now Nick Markakis is playing out of his mind and I would be starting him every game against righties. And Gaurav is no huge Nick Markakis fan. So, just saying. There you go. Well, fellas, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been another episode of the Knock On the Nation podcast show. I was unable to stump the chumps this week. They pulled out the Zane Smith reference on me. I don't know if Josh would have ever gotten it, but JT was holding the fort down.
I think I would have. Yeah, I would have eventually got it. He's my mom.
My next
likes
clue.
Zane Smith.
My next clue was that Zane Smith had Wolverine eyebrows because that dude had some eyebrows. I'm talking like hardcore eyebrows. I don't know if y'all remember it that way, but he did. They're like super intense. Check out his baseball reference page if you doubt me. Look up Zane Smith on the reference page. Anyway, that's gonna do it. If you'd like to support us here at Knock On the Nation, we sure could use it, we would appreciate it if you would become a patron, citizen of the nation. You can do so at patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. And also, there's some awesome shirts and swag and gear that you can get at shop.spreadshirt.com/Nakahoma Nation. Check that stuff out. It's a lot of fun. We spend a lot of time on it, and we like to, you know, like for you to enjoy it.
Yeah. So my buddy Randall gave me his entire baseball card collection. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in it, he has basically all the 2002 Tops. I have Albert Pujols rookie, CC Sabathia rookie, Ichiro Suzuki. Not Ichiro Suzuki. Yeah, Ichiro's rookie. Also, I've got Ken Griffey Jr.'s rookie card right there.
Yeah. That used to be worth about $40. I don't know what it's worth now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone actually gave me their sports memorabilia / card collection, and I think somewhere there are about 40 of the little figurines, home run hitting figurines. You know what I'm talking about, Josh? The little all-star figurines, what are they called?
Yeah, star lineup. Star.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Dude, yeah. Starting lineup. What it was.
I found like 10 at the local Salvation Army, and I mailed obsessed Dodgers fan guy from the Let Me Just Say podcast. He loves Barry Sanders for some weird reason. I love people that just have no like JT. JT is I guess he grew up in Jacksonville, but this guy like didn't ever live in like Detroit, but he loves the Lions and Barry Sanders. So
yeah,
I mailed old Jesse a Barry Sanders starting lineup figurine.
Well, he is a Dodgers fan. He's loved losers most of his life. So.
Barry Sanders was my favorite NFL player growing up because my granddad played running back for the Lions. And we had the same birthday. I love Barry Sanders. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's been good seeing you guys.
You too.
But anyway, I've got a bunch of those somewhere. I think I've got like the Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, all those.
Barry Sanders is the greatest of all time. I thought...
He could have broken Walter Payton's record if he'd come back for that last year in 99.
So I don't know football like JT knows football, but in my head, I just thought he had the most yards of any running back. In my bonehead dingus brain, I'm like, there's nobody that even came close. And so like last summer at Galileo's at Trivia Night, the question came up.
You got it wrong.
I was so confident it was Barry Sanders. It was obviously
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
It was Emmitt Smith. Yeah.
And some other guy at the table who doesn't even know sports and shouldn't have known that answer, like knew it. And I hate this loser. And so he was
Josh,
right. And so
Josh,
I was
so,
were you, so,
were you
so
more
mad.
Worried about being right? Or were you more worried about the greater good of your team?
100%. I was so angry at this person, and I still,
because
could,
you were wrong
and I couldn't accept being wrong. This is how bad it was. I had to go. I went to Mark, the guy that runs the trivia night, who's also the owner of Galileo's. And I was like, can you check this? Are you sure? I'm pretty sure it's Barry Sanders. He's like, no, it's not even close. It's definitely Emmitt Smith. I'm like, that's total bullshit. It's not Emmitt Smith. Like, I know sports. Like, it's definitely Barry Sanders. Like, no, it's literally Emmitt Smith, Josh. Please go back to your table.
I think Barry is still third all time, maybe.
So is Walter Payton second?
Who's second, and then Walter Payton, I believe. That's off the top of my head, I think. But I think Frank Gore is either third or fourth. It's crazy. So
that is weird.
But Barry could. Barry was amazing. Like as far as pure ability, make you miss highlight reel. Emmitt Smith never put together a good highlight reel.
Walter Payton
was amazing.
Frank Gore, Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson, Curtis Martin,
there you go.
LaDainian Tomlinson, yeah, Jerome Bettis. Anyway, yeah, looking forward. Football's starting to kind of crank up. I got my fantasy football draft this week on Thursday, so should be interesting to see how that rolls out. JT's probably got a few leagues of his own starting up, I would assume. So,
mm-hmm.
I was going to get you in our league, JT, and the boys had some other little turd that joined instead. I was like, what the heck?
I hate that guy. It's the worst.
Yeah. He was a ginger, too. Makes it the worst.
Oh, hey, Connor.
Yeah, it wasn't Connor. He was uglier than Connor somehow. I'm just saying. That's going to do it, though, for this episode of the Nakahoma Nation Podcast Show. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.